tangled up my notes, and now they don't want to lay down. This morning, I'm going to talk about love. I figure that's an appropriate topic on Mother's Day. We all love our mothers. We love our parents. When I think about Mother's Day, I think about my wonderful mother. I love her so very much. She's such a blessing to me. But I also think about my children. And I think that's normal. As parents on Mother's and Father's Day, we think about our children. And we remember when they were born, when we first looked at them, and we hold that precious new life. And we look at them and we see so many possibilities. And we have so much love for this precious new child, this new little life. We look at their face and we say, oh, look. And we look at them and we say, can I see any of me in there? What is there? To say, oh, look. Oh, look, honey, they have your nose. Oh, they have my eyes. We search to find ourselves in these precious new little lives. As we watch them grow up and we see them doing things and we say, oh, did you see that? That looks just like Grandpa did. He did that just the way Grandpa used to do that. Isn't that funny? Oh, did you see the look on her face right there? That looked just like Aunt So-and-so, didn't it? Oh, my goodness. She's going to grow up like her. Oh, no. And we think, you know, wow, it's so neat to see ourselves. We watch these children and we get entertainment and enjoyment and pleasure out of seeing them as they mimic people. We see gifts and cards and posters and things in the stores with the little kids, and they're dressed up so precious and so cute. The little girls, and they're all dressed up and they totter around in mom's high heels. Their shoes don't even fill halfway. Their feet don't fill the shoes halfway up. And they've got the necklace and the scarves all swathed around their neck. And the little boys, they have the little tool belts. And they look like daddy. And they've got their little plastic hammer. And I'm going to fix the bicycle. I'm going to fix the chair. I want to be like daddy. And they watch their older brothers and sisters too. You know, I've got two boys. When we've got a big age gap between them. There's 9 years between them. And the little one wants to be just like the big one. He can do everything that the big one can do. Big boy's about to turn 15. And in Tennessee, that means he can take the test to get his driver's license or his driver's permit. He's going to be 15 next week. So that's coming up soon. So we've been talking about, you need to study to take your permit test and things, and you get to start practicing driving the car. And he tells me, well, Mom, you know, I get the front seat. You're going to have to, not that he gets the front seat, but he's going to be driving, so I'm going to have to sit in the back seat. He's already informed me that my new seat's in the back. But Samuel, he looks at us talking about this, and he says, well, I want to drive. When do I get to drive? He doesn't understand. Why do I have to wait? I should be able to do everything just like my big brother. I want to be just like him. I play football like my big brother, and I try to play hockey with him like he plays, and our kitchen has become the hockey rink, and they play together, and he doesn't understand. How come I can't do just like him? I want to win all the games. I want to be just like my big brother. I want to do everything just like my big brother. And you know, they look up to us, these little kids, our babies, our children. They watch us and they imitate us because they love us. And that's one of the ways they show us that they love us, is by trying to act like us and trying to learn to be just like us. And I think when we come to be saved, God probably looks at us just the same way. He says, oh, look at this new life that's just come to know me. This new child that's been born again into my care. Oh, I love this child so much. And he looks at us as we grow and he says, can I see me in that child? Just like we look at our children, we say, can I see some of me there? He looks at us and he says, can I see me in them? The Bible tells us a little bit about that in Ephesians 5:1-2. Ephesians 5:1-2, it says, Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, if we look at the word follower there, if we look at it's the original Greek word is mimetes. Strong's Concordance tells us that mimetes means imitate or imitator. So I'm going to read that again and I'm going to swap that out. Instead of follower, we're going to say imitators. Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. So if we love God, the Bible tells us we should want to be like him and we should want to imitate him. But how do we imitate God? We don't know what he looks like. We don't see his actions like our children can watch us. But if we read our Bibles, we know that he's given us some ground rules. In our homes, we have rules. Our children don't always follow them, but we have rules. The children know that their dirty clothes don't belong in the living room. The toys are supposed to be put in the toy box. They know that they're supposed to put things away and keep things neat and follow certain rules. And just like we have rules in our homes, God's given us rules to live by in the Bible. In John 15:12, Jesus shares one of these rules with us. John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Wow, that's a big job. It's a struggle, and that's a challenge. There are some days we don't want to love somebody. I don't want to love him today, God. But Jesus loves us every day. Do we fail? Yep. We fail sometimes. Should we give up? Nope. Because you know what? The Bible tells us about that too. The Bible tells us a lot of important things. There's a lot of good ground rules in there. Galatians 6:9 tells us that we need to keep going. In Galatians 6:9, the Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Don't get bogged down. Don't give up. You got to keep at it. You've got to fight the good fight. If somebody gives you bad, don't give them bad back. The Bible tells us not to give evil for evil. We're supposed to try our best to do good and to follow Christ's example. Love one another as I have loved you. Romans 12, 14 through 18. Romans 12, 14 through 18. "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." And I just get a kick out of that. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you. I tell that to my kids sometimes. Oh my gosh, can you please just find it in you to be good to each other? Just try to be good to each other if you can. And God's telling us the same thing. If you can find it in you, be good to each other. Be peaceful with one another. These are some of the things that God wants to see in us. He wants to see us loving one another. He wants to see us blessing those who persecute us and not fighting against them, not cursing them. We're supposed to rejoice and be excited and be happy for those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. As Christians, we're going to have times where we weep. It's a big task and it's very hard, especially today. We live in a very harsh world today. The reality today is we are living in end times, and it's not easy. In America, we are very blessed. We are more blessed than any other country in this world. But even in the midst of our blessings, we struggle. Every day we struggle. Times are so tough. We're facing spiritual struggles left and right. Everywhere we look, we have battles every day. We face financial struggles. Even the wealthiest people are saying that times are hard. You know, I watch some of these silly shows on TV, and some of the women complain. You know, the harsh economy has affected them too. They've had to start flying regular. They can't afford their private jets anymore. And I feel sorry for them, don't you? I'm joking. But it's hard on everybody. And those of us who are not billionaires are really feeling the struggle today. Gas prices are high, and that really affects everything. Cost of living is high. These are struggles that we all face. It makes everything harder. We try to do so much and take on so much. We're not in a slow, easy pace anymore. Every day is chock full, 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 full. And times are hard. On top of that, we face personal struggles. Sometimes we face sickness. We have difficulties on our jobs. Sometimes we lose our loved ones. We go through trials every day because the devil's waging war on us. These times are so hard, and sometimes we fail because we don't always show God's love. Sometimes we feel abandoned and alone. Pity party. Table for one. Table for one over here. Pity party, anyone? Oh, that's me. That's me. Let me sit down. Give me my glass of water. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. And we sit there and we just pile it on. And we feel bad. And we get low. And the devil gets in our ear. Nobody cares about you. Nobody cares what you're doing. You don't make a difference. Nothing you do matters. And sometimes we let him get that foothold and we start to believe that we can't do things. We can't share God's love. Nobody cares anyway. Nobody cares about us. Nobody cares what we do. But that's not true because God always cares what we do. Maybe we've prayed for a loved one and God called them home. In our mind, we failed because we prayed and they're gone. But that's not what happened. God called them home. He needed them there. He answered their prayer. He healed them in his own way. Sometimes we study for a test and we fail. And we don't understand. I tried so hard. But we don't know. Maybe there's an answer down the road. Sometimes things happen for a reason that we can't see today. All of our plans, all the things we struggle for so hard, sometimes they just seem like they're crashing down around us. And what now? What do we do now? It's all falling apart and I don't understand. A few weeks back, I heard about the passing of David Wilkerson. You might remember, he's the author of the Cross and the Switchblade books. He founded Teen Challenge Ministries, World Challenge Ministries, Pass the Bread, a lot of wonderful, wonderful ministries. I don't know why, but it just really grabbed my attention when I saw that. I thought, oh, wow, he was one of those giant saints, you know, that you hear about and you think, wow, what a difference they've made. And it kind of hit me. He's gone. Isn't that sad? I found a link on his website to, they have devotionals, daily devotionals that he would post every day. And the morning of his death, I just think it's such an amazing thing that God did. The message, the devotional that he posted the morning of his death was so beautiful. When he posted that morning, he didn't know that something that afternoon or whatever time of day it was going to happen that was going to cause him to cross over and hit head on with a truck and his life would be taken just like that. The message that he posted that morning, it talked about sometimes we struggle and we worry. And sometimes we face these dark, dark nights and we cry and we reach out and we, God, are you there? Do you hear me? But remember that weeping only lasts a while. It was a really beautiful devotional that I'm sure brought peace to his family in the days after his passing. But one statement in particular jumped out at me, and I've thought about it many times since I read it. It said, "Beloved, God has never failed to act but in goodness and love. When all means fail, His love prevails. When all means fail, God's love prevails. God's love alone is victorious over all our sin. God's love alone cleanses us and makes us righteous. God's love alone washes us clean and makes us worthy to stand before the throne of grace. God's love prevails." When we feel that we can't do it, how do we show God's love? How do we imitate God when we feel so far away? We feel, I can't, I'm too far, I can't do it anymore. We need to remember the words from Romans 8, 35 through 39. Romans 8, 35 through 39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. His love prevails in every situation if we'll let it. No one, no thing can separate us from God's love. If we've accepted Jesus as our Savior and asked him to live in our hearts, he's an example living with us at all times. We're never too far away. We just have to turn our eyes inward and say, okay, Jesus, I know you're there. Be with me and show me. He's there all the time, willing to show us his love and show us how to share his love. The other day when I was on the internet looking about the passing of Brother Wilkerson, I saw a video tribute that they played at his funeral. And there was one clip out of that tribute where he was thanking God for his family, his wonderful years of successful ministry. But what he said was this. I'm paraphrasing a little here. He said, "Folks, it's boiled down to this one issue, this one desire. It comes down to this one issue." And his voice cracked as he said, "I want to be more like Jesus. I want to see his face. I want to be a reflection of who he is. That's the answer." So in our hearts today, we need to make that declaration. We need to be like little children, and we need to imitate Jesus. We want to be like God. We want to work and share his love with others in this sick and dying world. We need to be a light in the darkness. A long time ago, I used to sing a song. The words of that song were, "You're the only Jesus that some will ever see. You're the only words of life that some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. Because you're the only Jesus that some will ever see." What a message for this end times church. There are so many unchurched people out there today. People who are lost in sin and they don't even know. They don't know that they need a relationship with Jesus. They don't know that they're missing out. They don't know the words to the songs we learned in Sunday school. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." They don't have those Bible verses written on their heart For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would have everlasting life. Would not perish, but have everlasting life. Their parents didn't take them to church every time the doors were opened, as some of us had that wonderful situation in our lives, and we learned so much. They didn't have a godly example in their lives. Or maybe they did, and they've walked away. But now more than ever, we see the depravity and the darkness out there in the world today. And we know that no matter what, we need to share God's love. We need to be a representation of Jesus. We need to be a light. We need to be imitators of God. As Brother Wilkerson said in the video tribute, that is the answer. When we ask, how do I share God's love? How do I reach sinners? How do I make a difference? To be more like Jesus. To see his face. To be a reflection of who he is. That's the answer. If you bow your hearts, bow your heads for just a moment. If you're listening and you want a relationship with Jesus, you want to be a light in darkness. You want to see Jesus. You want to see his face. You want to be a reflection of who he is. All you have to do is open your heart to him today. All you have to do is believe in your heart that he is the Son of God, who came, was born of a virgin, died on a cross, and rose again, and is at the right hand of the Father. That's all you need. You need to believe and want in your heart and in your mind Jesus to live in your heart with you. If you want that today, just say a simple prayer. Mean it in your heart and in your mind. Dear Lord Jesus, be with me. Forgive me of the sins that I've had in my past and help me in the future. Help me to follow you. Help me to be a reflection of you, Lord. Live in my heart and help me to follow your will and to follow the paths that you've laid out for me. That's all that you need to do today. If you want to have that relationship to be more like Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. We just give you praise and glory. We ask that you would be with us. Help us to be a light in the darkness. Help us to follow you. Remind us in the darkest darkness of night, when everything seems so far away, that the darkest hour means dawn is just in sight. That you're there with us at all times. Just lift us up and help us, encourage us, and always set forth a reminder of who you are, that we would have that example so that we can imitate you and show your love to others. We love you so very much, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.